Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, Lorraine Gordon, owner of the Village Vanguard. The Village Vanguard is the oldest, most famous, and probably the most important jazz club in the world. It's a place where Lorraine still mans the phone.
Village Vanguard.
Lorraine Gordon, welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Thank you for coming on The Voice of the Arts, AM 1160 in Atlanta.
Nice to have your voice on my end here, David Lewis.
And nice to have you. And a little background on Lorraine, listeners. Lorraine runs the Village Vanguard, the owner-operator of the Village Vanguard, which is essentially the Carnegie Hall of jazz. It is the longest-standing and most famous and most important jazz institution in the world, and Lorraine is the boss.
Well, I've just been the boss for a while. Actually, my husband, Max Gordon, who opened the club in 71 years ago, was the boss, and then he died in 89, and then I became something in his image, I would like to think.
Yeah, you're not doing too bad there, Lorraine.
No, the musicians are doing it. They're the greatest, and I love them, and they come here every week. We have spectacular music, and I owe it all to them.
Who's playing this week?
This week it's the Dave Douglas Quintet.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yes, he's got a new young man on sax, Donnie McLaslin. He has a great Uri Kane on piano, James Janis on bass, and Clarence Penn on drums.
So let's go back to the early years, Lorraine. How did you get interested in jazz? You grew up in Newark. How did it start?
Well, I mean, it's a long story. Do you have a 1795? You'll buy my book someday. I can't go through it all. How does anyone get interested in something? That's a very heady question. I just like music. I just like jazz. It's very simple. That's how I got into it. I liked it. That's the simplest way I can put it. Nobody taught me. Just listen, and then that's it. And then it all fell into place, little by little.
You were a Jewish kid growing up in Newark, hanging out in 11 music clubs, correct?
No. I mean, I live in Newark, and there's all kinds of sections. And there was a great trumpet player there named Jabbo Smith, who someone in Atlanta might know, since he did pass through Atlanta. I like to think he was born in Georgia and grew up in an orphanage in South Carolina. And as a young boy, he learned the trumpet in the orphanage, and he must have played Atlanta, where these little orphan kids went out and played on street corners to make money for the orphanage. Anyway, so he played in Newark, New Jersey, and I happened to be living there and went to see him at a club called the Alcazar, and that was very special to me as a young person. I mean, that was part of living in New Jersey.
Before you married Max Gordon, you had a first husband who was...
I think so, yeah. How did you know that? You know everything.
I do. My spies told me.
Yes. I was a child bride twice. Anyway, I was married to Alfred Lyon of Blue Note Records, and I did a lot of work for him and with him, and we were very married, and I loved Blue Note Records desperately, and they were the greatest records in the world for me at that time. And they still are, but the early ones are really my very favorites. Sidney Bechet, people like that.
Sidney Bechet, who else were you in the recording studio and hanging out with?
I don't hang out with anyone. I just go to work. You know, I know you want me to be hip, but I'm not so hip. I'm hanging out with whoever was recording at the time. Ike Quebec, Ram Ramirez, I don't know, so many names. You know, my mind gets boggled with all the names that one must think about.
Well, you've shown me photographs of you and Louis Armstrong and Thelonious Monk.
I didn't have any with Monk. I didn't show you that, did I? Where were we when I showed you these pictures?
Your living room.
My living room? Boy, is my memory dead. Well, I don't have any pictures of Monk with me. I certainly have them with Bechet. And, oh, with Louis, yes. We were in a friend's apartment one night where Louis and his wife, Lucille, were there, and we spent a wonderful night, you know, talking and taking pictures of each other. And, of course, those are my best, beautiful pictures of Louis Armstrong, who I love very much and always did.
Now, tell me about Thelonious. You had an important
role. Well, I know.
Role.
I can't tell you a lot because I'm here at the office and nobody's here but me. Everyone left me alone. But Thelonious was recorded by Blue Note Records in the very early days, early 40s. And I thought he was fabulous. I liked him a lot. So did, of course, Alfred Lion and Frank Wolf, who was Alfred's partner as well. And we recorded him before anybody knew him. Only musicians knew him. He was not known at all by the public. And the public at that time, when we tried to promote these records, were absolutely disinterested in him. They didn't think anything about him the way we did. And we knew we were right, and it did prove itself, because today you cannot hear any band of a good jazz caliber that doesn't play a Monk composition. He's a famous composer, beautiful. I compare him to Duke Ellington, and he was an eccentric pianist, but very marvelous. So I always had a great, great fondness for Thelonious Monk.
And you got him his first gig at the Vanguard.
Yeah, inadvertently I did, because I had... was recording him at that time with Alfred, and then I also met Max Gordon at the time, who had the club, and I got him involved in listening, and yes, he said he would book him, and he did that following September. He did book him for a whole week at the Vanguard. That was his first downtown or other gig beside Uptown in Harlem. He didn't do very well. People didn't know him. And weren't rushing to break the doors down. And I sat there. I was enthralled. It didn't matter to me where he played. Yes, that did happen.
And Max was kind of angry at you, if I remember correctly.
Boy, I told you everything. I don't have to write a book. Yes. Well, he's a little annoyed that there's no business. What am I trying to do? Wreck his business? Where's everybody? What am I talking about? What's so great here? Well, I did warn him to be careful what he said, because Thelonious was a genius. These words will come back to haunt you, Mr. Gordon. Be careful. Anyway, later on in life, when Max rebooked him many times, he always told people what a genius Monk was. So I felt gratified.
Yeah, and you married the guy, so it turned out...
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, thanks for reminding me. We had two beautiful daughters, as the saying goes. And, yeah, I had another full, beautiful life. And now here I am in a third wonderful life. So I've had some... I have no complaints. I've had a wonderful musical life, and I'm very happy to be here at the Vanguard. And what else would I do? I'm so lucky. I really am.
How many albums have been recorded at the Vanguard?
It's probably over 100 now, just about over 100. We have a website. It gives a cover of every album there. We're just putting a new cover on of Bill Frisell, who has a new CD out. East West, it's called. That'll go on the website this week.
Now, this is a completely unfair question, but out of those 100 or so albums, do you have any particular favorites?
Oh, no. It's a hard question because, yeah, I love the Bill Evans records. I love the Wynton Marsalis records. Wynton did a whole set of recordings down here. It's a box set. Oh, golly, I love so many of them.
The Sonny Rollins, the Coltrane.
I don't love Sonny Rollins' record. Yeah, of course I like Coltrane. You have to. Well, you can't be in the music business if you don't. No, but you asked me what I like the best. This is what other people like the best, you're telling me.
Now,
I have favorites. What?
Tell the listeners about the Mingus Light.
Well, Mingus had a very hot temper, and although he's one of the great bass players of all time, if someone annoyed him in the audience, you know, he would either tell him keep quiet or something. But when he got angry, he took his bass one night, and there's cove lights up in the ceiling, and he hit a light and broke it, and that was that. He didn't break his bass. But anyway, Max never took, he took the bulb out but left the casing inside the ceiling, and that became the Mingus Light. It was no reason to take it down, just leave it there. And people did come to look at it. It became kind of a very important mission in the world to come see the Mingus Light.
Well, the sense of history in the club is extraordinary. Not just the Mingus light, but the photographs. I mean, I remember...
Oh, the photographs, yeah. But, you know, the Vanguard wasn't always just jazz. A lot of great other artists came out of this club who were not jazz musicians. Woody Allen started here. I mean, there's a whole string of entertainers who played here long before it became just jazz. So in 71 years of history, you can imagine how many people appeared here. The reviewers, which was Judy Holliday and Betty Comden and Adolph Green, who all went on to huge fame, especially Judy Holliday and Adolph Green and Betty Comden wrote all those fabulous plays on Broadway. They all started here as kids. You know, Max had an eye for lots of all kinds of great talent. He had a very good eye. And then it progressed into jazz in the later years when television took over and those acts were no longer available. And then Max always liked jazz and decided this is the way to go. And he was right.
Now, Lenny Bruce...
Lenny Bruce was here a long time. Erwin Corey, who is a master comedian of all, played here for years. And he was actually the forerunner of people like Lenny Bruce, you know, people who spoke their mind.
I wish I was in New York this week to hear Dave Douglas.
Oh, I wish you were too, and then we could sit and talk
and here. Play Scrabble.
I have to go through all the memories now.
And we could play Scrabble back in the kitchen.
Oh yeah, well that's okay. Come on, let's play Scrabble. I still like Scrabble.
Listeners, I urge you to go to New York, go to the Village Vanguard, say hi to Lorraine, and then leave her alone, or she'll bite your head off.
No, I won't, but if they come, bring David Lewis with you. I want to sit down and talk to him some more. There goes the phone.
Well, Lorraine, thank you very much, and thank you for talking to AM 1160, the Voice of the Arts in Atlanta.
Well, I thank you, Dave, and I hope to see you soon.